let's come back into order. We have reached item number 5. This is our WAC overhaul technical rule changes round 3.
Round 3.
Briefing, and Joanna Ide is back with us, undertaking a Herculean task of cleaning up the regs and making them all sound right and cleaned up and sensible and easy to enforce. So, okay, what do you have for us today?
Well, fingers crossed on that, Madam Chair. So good morning, commissioners. Thank you for having me here this morning. I'm here to brief the commission and hold a public hearing on the third round of our proposed technical rule changes as part of the WAC overhaul project. I will request adoption of these changes during the November commission meeting. As you know, the WAC overhaul project encompasses efforts to streamline and clarify and update the department's administrative code. And included in that effort are plans to reorganize and renumber the department rules under one logically organized title in the Washington Administrative Code. The proposed changes I bring before you today are one of several packages that will be brought to the commission as part of the WAC overhaul project. And there are changes to split up and consolidate rules so they may be reorganized and renumbered more effectively next year. And the plans for that, as it stands now, it's probably going to be early summer after the legislative session is over and things calm down slightly. We'll be doing that early next summer. I will bring those packages, the next rule packages that are planned before the commission and the public in the coming months to prepare for that wide sweeping change. Partially the reason why we want to do that is we don't want to have to split up and consolidate rules after we get it into the new numbering and organizational construct, because we don't want to mess with a good thing after we've already just gotten it in the new organization. So we're trying to do all of the splitting up and mashing together of similar topics, make things more logical before we actually move it. Once those reorganizational changes are made, we will examine potentially more policy-geared changes. So that will occur well after all of the moving around. So this proposed package primarily deals with revamping the bottom fish rules contained in Chapter 22048, commercial and recreational shellfish rules, and a couple miscellaneous rules from the fish and shellfish portions of the code. It also aims at making rule titles more clear and uniform, and I will be taking principles that I've established through the process thus far and moving those forward in formulating titles for different WAC sections as we move forward, especially because it's going to appear in such a different format. We want to make sure our titles are very clear and express what the actual topic of the rule is. I will address each rule section and proposed changes contained within them, and then we'll be happy to answer any questions and open up discussion for the public. I'm going to do just a general discussion of the changes that are contained within these. Again, we're only having two changes of things that haven't really appeared before, but mostly this is all technical, and it's all things that existed previously. We're just moving it all around and reshuffling and reorganizing. And I'm going to go in the order of the actual package that I gave you after the CR-102 form, just to, so you can follow along and see what the changes are as we go. So the first change is to WAC 2016-330, and that is to general definitions dressed fish, and it's amended to incorporate WAC 2016-325 within that section, which defines what the measurement of a dressed fish is. WAC 2016-325 is repealed after that language within that section is included in this WAC, so that's on the list for trashing as soon as we just move the language. The next rule that is changing is WAC 2020-48005. Now, this is the first of the bottom fish chapter that I talked about just previously. So there's a bunch of moving around that we did within that because there was a lot of repetition that didn't really need to occur. So we've shortened it up quite a bit. So that first rule is titled Puget Sound Bottom Fish General Provisions, and it is amended to update and clarify language to clean up subsections and to provide penalty language. So we didn't do so much with that one because it was okay as it stood, but the next few is where the big changes are. The third is WAC 2020-48-015, and that's beam trawl and otter trawl seasons. It's amended to combine several rules that were unclear into one clear rule section that contains all prohibited gear for bottom fish in Puget Sound. It also amends the title to read Puget Sound bottom fish unlawful gear instead of, you know, what it used to be, and provides a subsection with penalty language. So it gives an expression of, if you violate this, then you will be guilty of the following. The fourth change is WAC 2020-48-052, and that's bottom fish troll seasons, and it's amended to bear the title commercial salmon fishing, retaining Puget Sound bottom fish and incidental catch to more accurately reflect the remaining language in the section after a large portion of the rule was incorporated into 2020-48-015. So again, lots of moving around. The amendments clarify and update rule language as well. The fifth is WAC 2020-48-061, that's drag seines gear, is amended to bear the title Puget Sound bottom fish, drag seine requirements and seasons, and incorporates WAC 2020-48-062 into the rule language. Penalty language is also added to that section. WAC 2020-48-071 is our sixth change. It's bottom fish pots, gear, and seasons, and it's amended to bear the title Puget Sound bottom fish pots. It provides penalty language and adds language indicating that it is unlawful to operate bottom fish pot gear without possessing a valid bottom fish pot license. It also provides penalty language for violation of that provision. So WAC 2020-48-072 is unlawful retention of live bottom fish, and it's a new section, and it merely splits off existing language that makes it unlawful to retain live bottom fish into its own section and provides penalty language for that. So it's not buried within another section where someone might not be given notice of that actual provision. So the following WACs, because of all of these incorporations, were repealed as part of that chapter, and that is WAC 2020-48-001, Puget Sound bottom fish gear, WAC 2020-48-019, which is roller trawl seasons, WAC 2020-48-025, which is set net Pacific cod gear, WAC 2020-48-026, which is set net Pacific cod seasons, WAC 2020-48-027, set net Pacific cod logbooks, WAC 2020-48-029, set net dogfish seasons, WAC 2020-48-032, set line seasons, WAC 2020-48-041, commercial jig gear, WAC 2020-48-042, commercial jig seasons, and let's see, WAC 2020-48-051, troll lines, bottom fish gear, and WAC 2020-48-062, drag seine seasons. Whew, okay. Okay, so the ninth change that we have, we're moving into a separate chapter now, is WAC 2020-56-315, and the original title was Crabs, Shrimp, Crawfish, Unlawful Acts, and it's amended to bear the title Personal Use Crab, Shrimp, Crawfish, Unlawful Acts. The language is updated and clarified, and penalty language is added. In WAC 2020-56-317, personal use shrimp pot gear requirements, it's a new section that consolidates all the shrimp pot gear requirements into one section instead of spread over other sections and commingling with other shellfish pot rules. What we're trying to do is just make sure that everything for that one particular set of gear appears in one section rather than having it spread out over the course of multiple sections. WAC 2020-56-320 is shellfish gear unlawful acts, and it's amended to include the personal use designation in the title and is amended to remove all specific requirements for shellfish and shrimp into separate sections while leaving and incorporating all general shellfish gear unlawful acts into one section. You know, again, what we're trying to do is really signal what this rule contains, who needs to be concerned about this rule, and adding in personal use signifies that it's for personal use recreational instead of for anything that a commercial person would need to be worried about. The 13th one change we have is 2020-52-019, and the title originally is Gooey Duck Clams, Gear and Unlawful Acts. It's amended to split the rule up into other sections based on topic areas and to make the provisions more manageable pieces. The word diameter, this is one thing that's going to be fixed, was mistakenly struck, and it's the third line in the second paragraph, and it will be added in before we actually finish this and ask for adoption. I will also change the title because it's still a little vague to me, and I want it to read Commercial Gooey Duck Harvest Gear Restrictions, so that it's abundantly clear what it actually entails. WAC 220-52-01901, Gooey Duck Licenses, is amended to bear the title Commercial Gooey Duck Harvest Licenses to more clearly state the topic of the rule and generally clarifies rule language. So just a quick side note about the numbering of these rules. Really don't worry about those at all right now. All of these are going to end up changing anyway next year, so I'm not really focusing on where does it appear right now in the code. I'm thinking more into the future of where is it going to be, and is this title going to help me place it appropriately. So really right now we've kind of got some rules that have some really funny rule numbers on them, so I ensure that those are going to be changing as well. I know we're halfway there. Number 15 is WAC 220-52-01902, Commercial Gooey Duck Harvest Requirements and Unlawful Acts, and it's a new section that moves the general requirements necessary for commercial gooey duck harvesters to meet in order to lawfully harvest gooey ducks from WAC 220-52-019 in its own section. WAC 220-52-01903 is titled Commercial Gooey Duck Harvest Time and Area Restrictions. It's also a new section, and it moves all the time and area restrictions for commercial gooey duck harvest into one section. This way, when someone's actually looking at our code, they can say, okay, well, I don't care about the gear restrictions because I know all about that. I can look at time and area. Where can I go and when? Number 17 is WAC 220-52-005, and that's Crab General Unlawful Acts. It's a new section, and it's simply combining general unlawful acts for crab affecting both commercial and recreational harvesters from WAC 220-52-040 and moving those acts into a separate section that says nobody can do this. It also makes personal use possession of soft-shell crab an infraction rather than a misdemeanor, and this is due to the fact that soft-shell conditions are rather subjective, and this was actually proposed and supported by both department biologists and enforcement officers. Just, you know, it is a very subjective thing whether or not how soft-shell is this crab, you know, and so they wanted to make that change. WAC 220-52-036, Definition, Commercial Crab Fishing, is a new section that places the definition of commercial fishing from WAC 220-52-046 in its own section, so we can actually find what is defined as commercial crab fishing on its own. WAC 220-52-038 is Commercial Crab Licenses, and it's a new section that contains provisions relating to commercial crab licenses, and this is moved from 220-52-040 into its own separate section dealing only with commercial crab licenses. WAC 220-52-040 is Commercial Crab Fishery, Lawful and Unlawful Gear, Methods and Other Unlawful Acts, and it's amended to bear the title Commercial Crab Fishery, Unlawful Acts, as much information relating to other topic areas is split out into separate sections that contain smaller topic areas. Provisions remaining in this section are reorganized and the language is clarified as well. WAC 220-52-042, Commercial Crab Fishery, Buoy Tag, Pot Tag, and Buoy Requirements is a new section that takes all Buoy Tag, Pot Tag, and Buoy Requirements from multiple sections because they appeared in at least three or four, and including WAC 220-52-040 and 220-52-043, and consolidates only those provisions and reorganizes them into one section so you can find everything you need for Buoy Tag, Pot Tag, and Buoys ever. The next change is 220-52-043, Commercial Crab Fishery, Additional Gear and License Use Requirements. This is amended to bear the title Commercial Crab Fishery, Shellfish Pot Requirements to more accurately reflect the information now contained within the section. The section contains clarified language, and many parts of the rule that deal with gear requirements that are outside of shellfish pot requirements are moved to other sections, such as buoy requirements, which are all organized under WAC 220-52-042. The next is 220-52-044, Commercial Crab Fishery, Coastal Gear Recovery Permits. It's a new section that contains all provisions surrounding coastal gear and recovery permits from WAC 220-52-040 and other rules in the chapter to avoid blending several topic areas in one large, difficult-to-navigate rule. This is exactly the sort of situation we're trying to avoid. You know, I'm really looking forward to a couple more projects that are going to be doing similar things in the next few months, so be on the lookout for those. WAC 2020-52045, Commercial Crab Fishery, Seasons and Areas, Coastal, is a new section that contains all coastal seasons and areas in one section, moved from WAC 2020-52046, so that Puget Sound seasons and areas appear separate from coastal areas and seasons. Makes it easier to locate. WAC 2020-52046, Crab Fishery, Seasons and Areas, is amended to bear the title Commercial Crab Fishery, Seasons and Areas, Puget Sound, to reflect its contents as all coastal seasons and areas now appear in a separate section that we just discussed. Further, adding the word commercial to this section and others in this chapter when we're changing titles will help to make the topic areas clearer, especially when all rules are moved into the new organizational renumbering construct. So it'll be abundantly clear whether or not something is recreational and whether or not something is commercial. Plus, they'll be separated by quite a bit of room in the code. WAC 2020-52047, Commercial Crab Gear, Possession of Another's Gear and Tag Tempering, is a new section that contains provisions from WAC 2020-52040, and it deals with possession of gear belonging to another person other than the person possessing the gear and tampering with another person's gear. Since both of these provisions deal with unlawful acts surrounding gear owned by another, I put them together because it just made a bit of sense to me. And also, it'll help with functionality of the code. People will more easily be able to locate, you know, what can I do with someone else's stuff. WAC 2020-52048, Commercial Crab Fishery, Gear Limits, Puget Sound and Marine Fish Shellfish Management and Catch Reporting Areas. It's a new section that deals with only the information indicated in the section's title, which is moved from 2020-52040. As you can tell, a lot of things appeared in 2020-52040, and really all this is splitting it apart so we can actually find what we need. WAC 2020-52049, Commercial Crab Fishery, Gear Limits, Coastal, is also a new section, and it details the coastal gear limits, which is all information moved from 2020-52040 again. WAC 2020-52018, Clams Gear, is amended to bear the title Commercial Clam Fishery Gear and updates and streamlines language, including deleting references to the Department of Fisheries. The amendments also add more information on how to obtain a mechanical harvester fishery license. So essentially the address of the department, and also our website contact information, things of those nature. The next is 2020-52060, Crawfish Fishery, and it is amended to bear the title Commercial Crawfish Fishery. The information contained in the rule is reorganized and streamlined, and language is clarified, updated, and adjusted for consistency. We also did some subsection renumbering, and penalty language was also included. So a lot of this, a lot of the changes that we're doing, we're trying to always add in violation language to signify if you violate this rule, then this RCW will apply to you. Just to provide notice and also to make it more enforceable and easier for officers to use, for our biologists to use, for judges to look at, and that sort of thing. WAC 2020-56-330 is Crab Areas and Seasons, and it's amended to include personal use in the title to make the subject matter clearer, and a subsection from another personal use crab rule is added, as well as a subsection detailing penalty provisions for violation of the rule. WAC 2020-56-335, Crab, Unlawful Acts, is amended to include personal use in the title, and several clarifying amendments are included. Provisions are included on possession of soft-shell crab for personal use purposes, as those provisions fall in the general personal use unlawful acts relating to crab category. So that was one that we discussed earlier where we changed it from a misdemeanor to an infraction. Those were in the general. This applies to both commercial and recreational. I also added it into this particular section. It's a very short sentence. It's because this particular section details a lot of things that people cannot do while they're doing recreational harvest of crab, and I didn't want that to be left out and people say, oh, okay, well, it's not listed in the section, so therefore I can do it. I know it's a bit repetitive, but just for consistency and trying to make sure we give proper notice, I figured it would be a good addition. Okay, let's see. the last one we've got. WAC 2020-56-365, Razor Clams Unlawful Acts, is amended to include provisions from WAC 2020-025. The reference to this information in WAC 2020-025 will be amended in an upcoming rulemaking project. Actually, I will be presenting that to you next month. And that will make it so all contents of WAC 2020-025 only refer to crab, as razor clams and crab are currently blended within that rule, and it's a bit confusing and misleading. It couldn't be handled in this rulemaking project, as the CR 101 that was filed did not include that chapter in the actual CR 101. So because it was so narrowly written, so we didn't go too far as like biting off more than we could chew, we decided to leave that for another time. And so that will be handled in the next rulemaking project. And I think that's it. So thank you. And I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have and open up for public discussion if anybody would like to make a comment.
Commissioner Jennings.
First off, it's a delight to see how the codes cleaning up to be readable and very well organized. And thank you. It's a lot of work, and it's really going to make life easier for a lot of people.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Including enforcement. I really enjoyed, I thought you were very smart to insert the personal use versus commercial in the titles. Mm-hmm. It made it a lot easier to sort of look at it very quickly and say, does this apply to me or not? I'm looking at page 16, which is WAC 2020-59-019.
Mm-hmm.
You made some comment about a correction. I just want to make sure I understood what,
yes,
what that was.
Oh. Yes, that correction, Commissioner, thank you for the question. So that is in, I know the first paragraph in this is stricken, and the second paragraph, the third line, diameter, the word diameter about middle of the line is crossed out, and that should not be crossed out because we want to make sure that people understand that we're talking about it needs to be the inside diameter of the hose. So that will be changed before I request adoption from the commission, along with the title changes that I mentioned earlier, just to...
So that was my next question, the title,
yes,
change. Are you going to be putting in commercial?
Yes, I will be.
Great.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And then my last question is on page 49, 2020-56-330. Section 4 is just coming from a different WAC and being incorporated into that. Is that the...
I'm sorry, which page did you say again?
49.
Oh, 49, sorry.
2020-56-330. Number paragraph 4, that's, mm-hmm, just coming from a new section?
Yes.
A different section?
Yes. All of these additions, unless I said explicitly that we changed something, every single addition you see here is something that was taken from another existing WAC section. So nothing is new except for a lot of the language that was clarified, and because we're trying to keep the intent and the drive the same, but we want it to be a more clear expression of the actual intent of the rule so that people understand better how they are going to be affected by it, what they need to do to be able to engage in activity lawfully, and then also for our enforcement officers to be able to actually enforce it.
Excellent
so,
work. Thank you.
Commissioner Perry?
Yeah, I just have one minor question. It occurs several places, but one example is page 8, the third paragraph down from the top. You've changed the word lawful to permissible, and I just wondered why.
Thank you, Commissioner. That's a fantastic question. So a lot of the reason why saying that something is lawful means that someone is allowed to do something, a.k.a. that means it is a permissible activity. We wanted to change lawful, and this is something I'm doing across the board. This is one of my consistency and uniformity changes. Instead of having lawful and unlawful appear right next to each other, which can be really confusing, and even for me as an attorney reading through it, sometimes I trip over that. So what we wanted to do is make it very clear, this activity is permissible, you can do it, and really differentiate it from the unlawful activity, which can kind of get tripped up a bit when you're reading through a subsection.
I see. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Commissioner Mencken?
Yes, on page 9, WAC 220-48-072, the unlawful retention of live bottom fish, how do you deal with aquariums on that?
I think this is probably a really good question for the deputy chief, so I'll have him step in really quick.
Madam Chair, thank you, Commissioner. They're exempt. And this is, they're exempt provided that they procured the proper permit to possess those animals. And what that rule is meant to address is a, it prohibits a live fish fishery that could potentially, you know, target juvenile fish in nearshore waters. That's the intent behind that particular rule.
It doesn't make clear fishery to me.
Excuse me?
It does not, to me, it's not clear that it's a fishery that you're referring to here. I mean, aquaculture also maintains live fish, and there's talk and discussion about some of the bottom fishes being cultured here and in Canada. And I guess my question would be, how do you deal with that?
Let me clarify, take another stab at this. It was intended to address any live fish fishery harvest off our shore. We don't prohibit live fish that were caught in other states or private sector aquaculture from entering our marketplace.
Okay.
But we do have a paper trail that's required so that we can determine if they, those fish were from lawful origin and not off our own shore.
Okay. Thank you.
I would love to rewrite it.
Yeah, we're just really, Commissioner, this is an example of another provision that was taken from elsewhere and moved into its own section so that it could be visible. You know, eventually, hopefully we can get to the policy stage of this project and be able to really make those attacks on these particular provisions like this.
Director Henderson.
So, in terms of the process, am I to understand then if we see things that are obvious omissions that we should not call them to your attention and that they cannot be changed during this process?
Certainly, Director Anderson, call them to our attention, but no. We've sold this as housekeeping. And so any significant policy, any policy changes wouldn't be an appropriate move given how we've presented this so far. So it's a two-stage scrub. We clean it up. We place everything in an order that makes sense. And then we look at enforceability and whether the intent of the law actually achieved your intent. Or, excuse me, the language of your intent. But if you see flaws that are in front of you right now, certainly be happy to.
Could you sit down?
Yes, sir.
There's another microphone for Joanna, too. So we want you to be comfortable.
So you.
Director Anderson.
So you seem to be comfortable with changing things from a misdemeanor to an infraction. But what I'm hearing is you're not comfortable with making other types of changes. Let me bring a concern to you that I have to your attention, and it may or may not fit within the sideboards of what we're doing through this process. And I'm on page 31. The bottom of page 31, it's WAC 2052-045. It has to do with the commercial crab fishery, coastal. In section 2, it talks about the department may delay the opening coastal crab due to soft shell conditions, and in the previous section it states the season dates of December 1 through September 15th. Well, in fact, we delay the seasons for two different reasons. We do it for as a result of soft shell crab. We also do it to meet certain obligations that we have as a state under U.S. v. Washington to share the harvestable surplus with the coastal treaty tribes. And it's silent on that matter. And whether or not, to me, that's not a policy change, it's a statement of our current condition. On the next page at the top, on page 32, under Section A, it says, after consultation with Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, the director may establish so forth. We have a memorandum of understanding between the California Department of Fish and Game Director, the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife Director, and the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife Director as it relates to implementing tri-state conditions relative to soft shell and season delays. So I would, that should also include California Department of Fish and Game, not just Oregon, to be consistent with the, what our practice is and the memorandum of understanding that's between those three state directors.
Thank you, Director Anderson. It fits in my perspective.
Yes, thank you, Director. I agree. And also, you know, this is also an example of language that's pre-existing.
Oh, I know.
That was moved. So thank you for drawing that to our attention, and we will definitely address those.
Okay. Any other questions? I want to thank you again, Joanna. You bring such enthusiasm to this very, for what many people would think of as a dry task, but so important for enforceability. So you're walking us through this in a really clear, kind of energy-filled way, and I appreciate that. Great job.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. And, you know, sugar helps medicine go down, so I try to make it as a smooth process as possible. So I understand it is dry material and just try to make it as a painless experience as we can. So thank you.
We certainly are. Thanks a lot. Okay. Has anyone signed up for public input? We have a hearing component of this item. No one has signed up to testify, so we close the public hearing on it. We'll see you again next month, or?
Yes.
Next month, okay.
And I will also be bringing another package to you and briefing you on that as well at that time.
Okay, great.
Thank you.